I don't use a lot of I use illustrations in my teachings. I don't use a lot of teaching aids. I don't use a lot of things like this. I don't use a lot of videos to support that. There's all kinds of ways to enhance a message or a teaching. And sometimes I wish I were a lot better at trying to give you something tangible so that when the day is over and somebody were to see you next Wednesday and say, oh, did you go to church? Yeah. What'd the preacher talk about?
I don't know.
I mean, I would like for that not to be so frequent. And this week, Carol and I went on a couple of wilderness hikes out in the woods and looking at beautiful waterfalls and things. And I just got this thing working in me. So you're going to have to bear with me this morning. I don't know if this will be any good at all. But since I'm here, I get to do it. Has everybody got one? Almost everybody? Did we run out? Got more. Who needs one? Okay, now it's pretty complex. If you would take a pencil, this is your piece of paper. Take a pencil, and if you don't have a pencil, get one from your neighbor when they've finished. But I want you to write on the, I want you to answer or fill in the sentence. I'm what? Every one of us is an I'm. Every one of us is consumed with self. That's not, you can't help it. I'm not criticizing, I'm not making fun. But have you ever said to your inner soul or anybody else, have you ever said something like, I'm angry? Have you ever felt angry? What about joyful? So what are the descriptive words about you that you could put on a tiny little piece of paper? I'm, and write them down there. And it's not just today. Today you may be peaceful. You might write, I'm peaceful. Today I'm in church. Things are fine. I'm peaceful. Yesterday I was furious. Whatever. Would you just take some time and stare at your neighbor if you want. But if you need a pencil, ask the person next to you. How often do I have to say, I'm sorry? That might be something. Another one I'm sure is very common, I'm upset. I like to tell my face on occasion I'm happy. What happens when you're at conversation with somebody just through the week? How often does this word I'm come up? Think about that. Just in a day of conversation with people, how often do you say, well, I'm, is this tracking? I mean, are you catching what I'm laying down here? I'm. How many of you realize that I'm is a contraction? English teachers know that's a contraction. What other contractions might we think of? No. Don't, we're, can't,
we are,
we're. So the apostrophe between the I and the M is acknowledging that something's missing in there, correct? What's missing?
A.
So if we were to take, turn your paper over on the back side and now write the same word without the contraction, without the little mark, and you're going to write what?
I am.
It should start leaking now into your spirit. I am. How often do you use the phrase during the week, I'm? It's the shortcut to using the words I am. I am frustrated sounds a little too formal. So we could just say, well, I'm frustrated. You with me? What else do we know about the words, two words, I am? What? It's not just who he is. It's his name, right? I am. In fact, at one point it's repeated, I am that I am. Who are you? God, if we said to God, who are you? He would say, I am. I am. Yeah, but tell me who you are. He would say, I am. Now, on that same piece of paper on the back side where you wrote, I am, I would ask you to write some descriptive words about him. On the front side, you have your descriptive words. On the flip side, the I am side, what are descriptive words about God? Write them down. It helps if you write them on the sheet of paper that you've created. For example, would God have on, as a descriptor of his name, would he have, I am broken? I don't think so. I am frustrated. I am weak. I am without hope. Would any of these be on descriptives of God? All right, so the things that would be descriptive of God, what do we know? I am strong. I am powerful. I am wise. I am healer. What other kinds of things? I'm provider, defender. So all these can go on there that are descriptive names of the Lord God Almighty, correct? So what was exploding in me and what I'm trying to get for you is that you and I spend an awful lot of time on I'm. We go there often, all day long, subconsciously, we're in ourself. I'm. The more we try to work on our emotional understandings and emotional state, I'm not picking on identifying your emotional state. I'm not suggesting that it's wrong to identify your emotional state. In fact, it'll be helpful in this exercise if you could identify an emotional state that was contrary to I am. You with me so far? I am coming apart. Turn over. Is I am coming apart? Is I am at peace? Theologians have these great words for trying to explain God. In fact, theology, the word ology means the study of theos, God. So we have these fancy words, you know, like doctrine. Trying to explain the preeminence of God, the preexistence of God. He is almighty, everlasting, always faithful. How about these ones? Omnipotent means omnipotent, all powerful. Omniscient, all knowing. Omnipresent. You better write that down on the I am side of your paper. Omnipresent means what? How many of you on the front side, the I'm side, put I'm alone? Anyone? You may not want to admit it. But sometimes we feel very alone, don't we? I am with you. Always. Even to the end of the age. This was, I guess I was having kind of a week, folks. I guess I must have been having kind of one of those weeks, because I'm clomping along through the Mackenzie River forest trails, and God just starts speaking to me about I am. Because I'd been pretty busy talking to him about me and about how I'm doing. And he kind of wanted to reorient me to how he was doing. And then some of you know this, I'm not trying to bore you with it, but it happened again. We were in the lava fields. If you've been in the lava fields of Central Oregon, there's a place called Proxy Falls. And to get to Proxy Falls, you have to walk almost a mile, and part of that is through a lava field. And if it weren't for the fact that the Forest Service or somebody in there kind of cut a trail, it'd be almost impossible to walk through the thing. But there's a trail through the lava fields. And I don't know how long ago these things blew, but whenever the thing happened, it just decimated everything. And yet, growing right out of the lava are plants. Yeah. And it happened again. I saw this little flower, and yes, it was blue, and I have a picture of it on my phone. And God said, I made that. And I want you to put the little piece of paper in your wallet or purse. I want you to think about it this week. I want you to work on the front side, the I'm side. And every time you start I'ming this week, I want you to just consider what I am is saying. Because I happen to believe that we preachers spend an awful lot of time trying to develop an awful lot of doctrinal points. Well, what God is really trying to get us to understand is that he wants to live in us. This morning, Irene brought a word for us. Part of that word was speaking for the Lord, unloose me. What does that mean? Unloose me. It's pretty simple thing to comprehend, right? The Lord is saying, let me be a part of your life, right? If you're all frustrated because your finances are all screwed up and you can't do anything right and you just lost your job and you wrecked your car, blah, 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 maybe it's time to unloose the Lord. Maybe it's time to learn. The second thing that he said right after unloose me was learn to rest. Yesterday, this is so fantastic. Carol and I got out of bed at 11:15. So if you were trying to get us, now you know why you couldn't. I had a 9 o'clock meeting with some other pastors. When I finally picked up my message, where are you? I started to chuckle because I was resting. The third part, and then I was so impacted by these first three that I didn't catch the rest of it, but if it's on tape, we can listen to it. Unloose me, learn to rest in me and me alone. Dear ones, I am is trying to tell us something. He kind of picked on me to give this message. His spirit came on Irene to share these words. I think they confirm one another. We need to let I am influence the I'm. I don't know how many other ways I need to develop this. You and I benefit when we let the Christ in us come out of us. We were discussing a loved one who appears to have fallen away from God, who has been upset in his life. It's one of my sons. Upset in his life by the fact that God let him down. Pastor Skip, man of faith and power, has a son who's rejecting the Lord. This son feels like God let him down. Have you ever felt that way? That God didn't answer your prayer the way you expected or wanted? In other words, has God ever let you down? Well, it is true that God may not have answered your prayer the way you wanted. That's correct. But if he is putting you in the squeeze chute, you know what a squeeze chute is, making it impossible for you to go in almost any other direction but his, that's for your benefit. And I said to Carol, I said, I don't think my kid is lost. I think he's angry. I think he's upset. I think he's confused. I think some worldly educators got into his head about science and philosophy and religion. Because the world out there is not teaching about God. In fact, if anything, the world would be teaching that science is God. And so what I'm saying is I believe that the Holy Spirit is at work in my kid. And I'm kind of praying that that the Lord doesn't have to make life too uncomfortable. Because another saying Carol has is, when number one hurts bad enough, number one will change. Are you with me? Think of Financial Peace University, right? So this week, try and let the I'm confront the I am in your life. And I would love to hear any comments along the way if God shows up and speaks to you that way. Philippians chapters 1 through 4. Hey, that is the book of Philippians. This is such a cool, relevant, I'm sorry, Dave Burke wants the children for Sunday school. Thank you, Dave. I am just interfered with the sermon. Oh, gosh. Those of you going to Sunday school, go ahead. So let's try and understand exactly what's going on in this letter to the church at Philippi. Historically now, I've mentioned this all through the letters of Paul, but we have this idea of this guy, the Apostle Paul, a man of great faith and power with tremendous conversion experience. And Paul and the other apostles are sent out to do what? To the Gentiles and to the Jews, so to the whole world, they are sent out to do what? Spread the gospel, right? To tell people about Jesus Christ. Why is this such a big deal? Were these people of faith? Yes. The Jews had faith, didn't they? The Jews believed in Yahweh. They believed in Jehovah. They had different names for their God. They believed that the Messiah was coming. So Jews were people of faith. What about the Gentiles, the pagans? Were they people of faith? Oh, you bet they were. They had all kinds of gods. And the farther east you go, the more Asian you get, the more gods you add to the mix. I mean, how interesting it is if you're in a Greek culture or the Roman or any of them, you have all these, you have moon god, sun god, wind god, waves, the sea. They got names for all these gods, right? I was thinking about this. Why would you need so many gods? Think about that. Well, probably because they see how lightning comes out of the sky and lights a tree on fire, and it's an amazing occurrence, right? That must be a god. If it's something they can't explain or understand, or a hurricane whips up the sea and the waves capsize their boats, oh my, God is angry. So they name that a god. Look, this culture that the apostles went into isn't any different than ours, right? These people have a faith system. It's just wrong. It's in created gods instead of the creator God. I think it's fascinating. And as the church grows, so they come in and they teach that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is their Savior, right? Hey, your life is messed up. Come to the one who can fix it up. Whatever the terminology was, they went into the world just like this world today, telling folks there's hope, faith in Jesus Christ, your Savior. Wow. And so these people started getting together because they're now separated from all the rest of them, right? So they started to separate from the either Jewish or pagan practice, came together, and we call that the church. So here comes the church. And as I've reminded you, the church began to bring with it, as the church formed, the people brought into the church what they knew, what they had experienced. And they were constantly at war within themselves over the simple preaching of Christ, Jesus is Lord, with all these other things, right? So this is kind of the setting for all of these letters. And you could summarize Philippians by saying there is joy in the middle of trouble. Oh, you're going to get tired of hearing it. In the middle of trouble, I'm upset. But I am is full of joy. I am is probably looking at Skip saying, I wonder when he'll wake up. I wonder when he'll figure it out. I wonder when he'll start to follow me. Right? I think it's on Netflix. If you have Netflix, you can download it or you can go get it at the library. There's a movie came out a few years ago with Daniel Day-Lewis called Lincoln. Lincoln. It's about our president. It's a fabulous movie about the end of the Civil War and the tremendous problem that President Lincoln had getting the House of Representatives to pass the 13th Amendment abolishing slavery. So the Southerners, who at that time were being defeated pretty good, they come and they want to have a delegation come to seek peace. But in their definition of peace, there could not, they had to maintain slavery. They couldn't abolish slavery because slavery was sort of the economic engine of the South. You with me? Lincoln said, I will pass the 13th Amendment before we accept a treaty of peace. Can you just comprehend how his advisors were? At this time, over 600,000 people had been killed in the Civil War. And any opportunity to get peace is something that every mother, father, sister, brother is begging for, right? Peace at any price, almost. Lincoln was resolute. He said, no, we have to abolish slavery. Why? I mean, what's wrong with slavery? It's pretty common all over the world. Even today. It actually makes a lot of sense in a human perspective. I mean, if I'm stronger than you, and I can make you work for me, what's the matter with that? Oh, are your minds spinning yet? Why should I pay more than $9 an hour if I can get you for $9 an hour? Why should I pay you 10? Well, because I'm worth it. Not if I can get you for 9. The idea of slavery is contrary to our human, I mean, the idea of abolishing slavery is contrary to our human experience. As soon as one group of people rise up and defeat a group of people, that defeated group become slaves, whether you call it that or not. Lincoln had it in his heart. I believe that God's spirit was so strong in Lincoln, he was willing to lose his presidency. He was willing to lose everything. But he had to abolish slavery. Philippians chapter 1. This letter is from Paul and Timothy. What does it say? Slaves of Jesus Christ. Pretty appealing letter, telling a people, come into slavery. This gets so much better. There was a category of people in the New Testament called the doulos, D-O-U-L-O-S, the doulos. They were identified in their culture by having a hole in their ear that was put there with an awl. You know what an awl is? A sharp, pointed stick. And the awl is jammed into the ear, makes this hole, call it a piercing. And this became the sign that they were members of the doulos. And the doulos were voluntarily serving another. They had not been defeated. They had not been purchased, right? They came and gave themselves to a master, willing to serve that master for life, recognizing that no matter what that master did, no matter how they were kept or how they were fed, clothed, or cared for, it was going to be better than what they were going to provide for themselves. I'm saying there's a conflict of nature going on here. The people that were hearing, come to this ecclesia, this new form group we call the church. Come and be a slave like me to Jesus Christ. It's just contrary to our humanity. It's contrary to the way we think. I'm writing to all of God's holy people in Philippi who belong to Christ Jesus, including the elders and deacons. Look at that, the religious guys didn't get off. May God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. To the people of Philippi, including the elders and the deacons, these were the leaders of the faith community. He's saying, I want you to understand what really matters. Chapter 1, verse 15 says that jealousy and rivalry do not belong in the house of God. You see, if I'm a slave to Christ, and Christ by his Spirit chooses to give you what I think is more than what he's given me. It could be more stuff. It could be more position. It could be more smarts. Whatever it is. If I think that God has given you something, but he hasn't given me, if I'm not careful, I'll get angry at God like someone I know. I might be angry with one of you. I might think, well, you're not so great. How come you're doing so good? Rivalry and jealousy have no place in the house of God. What are we experts at? Rivalry and jealousy. Paul finally gets to the end of this chapter 1, and he says in verse 21, for to me, living means living for Christ. He says, dying is even better. People don't like that. Then he has to walk that back, kind of like Trump. He says, But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between two desires. I long to go be with Christ, which would be far better for me. But for your sakes, for your sakes, it's better I continue to live. I think the I am was getting into the I'm there pretty deep. And Paul is working with the church about ways to behave and ways to live. Chapter 2, have this attitude in you. That's verse 5. You must have the same attitude that Christ has. All right. Something happens this week. What could it be? Let's look back a week. Think of something that happened last week and what your response to it was. Now, was that an I'm response or an I am response? What happened immediately within you? Did you first respond out of you, or did you first loose Christ? You know, we're pretty good at loosing ourselves, aren't we? And the word for us this morning is unloose me, says Jesus. Let me have control. The rest of Philippians is just going to reinforce this same message. I could take another hour, but I hope you've got what God gave me this week. Yes, I have a real personhood here. Yes, I have a real life and a real experience. Yes, I have real things that are happening that I have to respond to. How much of the time am I walking in the Spirit? How much of the time am I releasing what God wants to release in and through me? Versus how much of the time is it based on my own intellect? Some of the people you need to pray for every single day, if you can think about it, is our church board. We have a board of directors here at Dayspring. They basically handle the money and make decisions how we spend our money. They have all kinds of mental understanding and training and wisdom. Yes? And we want them to do the right thing. Huh? And yet, what are they to do when a need arises that seems greater than the supply? What should a church board do? We need to live by the Spirit, folks. Ask God what to do. I just, like Paul, wish I could, you know, spread my hand out in some great spiritual blessing and fix everything. Wouldn't that be great? I've tripped over the verse in the scriptures that says, you have not because you've asked not. So I start asking. And then it gives the answer. And if you ask and don't receive, it's because you're asking amiss. God's telling me, if I ask for something, don't get it, I've asked wrongly. This is good stuff this morning. You didn't get what you wanted. So, had we asked correctly, we would have asked, and this would take another whole week to develop, in Jesus' name. In other words, we would have loosed the Christ. I try to tack on his name to all my prayers, in Jesus' name, just to make sure I've covered it. I don't really think that's what asking in Jesus' name is all about. I think what it is pray, discern, seek the Lord, loose him, find out what he wants. And you'll probably discover it's already happening and it's going to come to pass. What am I supposed to do today? What is I am wanting to do today? Father, we thank you. We try to understand how to walk with you, and this world just is so heavy and thick and confusing at times. But there you are, right inside me, closer than a brother. You've promised not to leave me. You've promised to be my Lord. You just want me to surrender to you. That's all you seem to be asking. Help us, O God, to surrender to you. Help us be willing to lay down the cares of this world and to be at rest with you, Lord Jesus. For we seek to pray in your name. Amen. Amen. Hey, God bless you, church. These dog days of summer, don't let them get you down. This week is going to be really hot. If you've got a terrible problem, call Tracy. She'll be glad to let you come sit in here in the morning. if the air conditioning stays with us. So we have some fellowship to enjoy. God bless you. See you next week.